following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Yeah, buddy, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things daily fantasy gambling and fantasy sports. We are on to week six of the NFL season. I can't believe it is flying by, isn't it, Brad?
Week six already. Isn't that crazy?
I know, man. It's like you wait for it all year, and then kickoff comes the week after Labor Day, and then poof, like already we're basically a third of the season behind us. It's nuts. You're listening to Sean and Brad. Brad, what's going on, man?
Good, man. How you doing, brother?
I'd be doing a lot better. I've said this, I think, 3 weeks out of the NFL season. If anybody can make a freaking kick in the NFL. Yeah. So we had my brother in town and my nephew in town. So we do like an annual guys trip where they come up, and it's really just a weekend to relax and all that stuff. And they came up, and it was the most depressing thing in the world because, we had all those games. We were talking about how excited we were last week for all the games. We had Kansas City, Jacksonville. It was a torrential downpour, so we didn't really get to see the matchup. But then Kansas City just kind of put them away anyway. Just a lot of games kind of let me down over the season or over last week. And a lot of it had to do with just poor kicking. Every time I was looking at one of my TVs, it's like another person was missing an extra point or a very makeable field goal. I don't know what's going on, man, but I can't stand it, man. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, how's it getting worse? And you asked me how I feel. Well, I had to watch Mason Crosby completely kill Green Bay's chances last weekend. So
five missed kicks, and he took his helmet off, and he was looking grayer and grayer with every missed kick.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah, I told you via text, and I'll tell the audience as well. I think this guy needs a touch of gray, the Just for Men gel, touch of gray. Make maybe look a little bit younger, feel a little better, maybe get some of that blue chew that we've been talking about on this podcast, a little vitality, a little virile ability and sensibility within himself, and maybe he can get those kicks in the middle of the uprights. My gosh.
Hey, I tell you, whatever he was drinking, I want to try it.
I tell you, I couldn't believe it. So the Green Bay was you at least you hit that pick. There's a silver lining for you. My picks last week were pathetic, and I tell you it doesn't take much to go from a reasonable week to a pathetic week, especially when you're only picking like four or five games at a time. Mason Crosby absolutely killed me in that game. And I hate it when they hit me in the wallet, and he did. And then I don't know the guy's name. I didn't bother looking it up because I was so disgusted. But in Tennessee, first of all, Tennessee, you have a game where Buffalo wins that game where Josh Allen completes 10 passes for 80 yards or 82 yards or something like that. Can you believe that? Like, I mean, how can you even say that the pick was wrong in that case? If you went and you looked at the stat line and somebody said, hey, man, listen, the opposing quarterback is going to throw for 80 yards, do you think you're going to win this game or not? You think you're going to win that game, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And so so Tennessee driving down somewhere late, maybe halfway in the fourth quarter. Mariota hits this guy. I think he's number 14 for Tennessee. Hits him right in the hands in the end zone. Sure cover after that and just – drops it like he put Pam all over his shirt or like cooking spray just went right through his hands, and I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like I was starting to stew, and I try not to do that because when I was a lot deeper into fantasy, like back in the day, here's a tip for all my fellow people that go nuts with the fantasy football lineups and all that. What I started doing a long time ago is I don't pay attention to what my opponent is, who they're playing, like which players are on their team, because I don't want to be watching the games and say, oh gosh, David Johnson just scored a second touchdown, and then think, well, crap, now what's my fantasy team doing? I don't like that leveling of anxiety. I just want to watch the games and play. But unfortunately, I did pay attention, and I did pay attention every time Ben Roethlisberger threw a touchdown when that game was out of hand. And I paid attention every time David Johnson got into the end zone. My team did end up winning, but I had a rough Sunday. I didn't enjoy it as much as I could have because of some of that anxiety, the betting anxiety, and then, of course, the kickers just missing kicks every time. But So it goes. Before we get started, I should mention, I didn't at the top of the show, we are proud partners of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. Of course, that network is moving and shaking. We also have a kind of a partnership with Podcast One, which Brad and I, you know, the Get Paid Podcast is on Podcast One, which we're in love with as well. Podcast One is great. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But Brad, you know, we did a pretty good job last week keeping this podcast under an hour. I think we should try to keep that going. So I say we just tear right into the games if you're good with that. We have Philadelphia -3 against the Giants.
You know, Eli Manning continues to be the sliver in this team. They have talent everywhere, and he can't perform at a high level. It's been that way for years now. I don't know, you know, everyone sees it except management. So, right? How could that possibly be?
Yeah, I said, you know, I love Saquon Barkley, don't get me wrong, but when you have the ability, and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen were both sitting out there for them at number two, when you have that ability like Green Bay has to go from, you know, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback in Eli Manning into a youth movement, you know, one of those top guys, you don't get the opportunity and the crack at those kinds of guys that often. I absolutely would have taken the quarterback and just left him on the bench, but... Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, the Giants aren't playing that well. They did cover against Carolina last week. Philadelphia is in a little bit of problem or in a situation right now because their running backs are all dinged up. Really, Wendell Smallwood's the only one left. I would definitely pick him up, by the way, if you're looking for a fantasy running back this week. You know, Sproles will be back soon, but we don't know. But Ajayi, he's out for the year. I think Carson Wentz is looking better. I know teams are blitzing him quite a bit. Minnesota showed up this past week against Philadelphia. That's great for Minnesota fans. Philadelphia, you know, they got three in the loss column. Thankfully, the division isn't good. I think every team lost in the NFC East this past week. You know, Washington had a chance to take control of the division there early in the season. They just completely laid an egg against New Orleans, which, you know, frankly, I kind of saw coming. But I don't really know what to make of this game. Like I said, Thursday night games, I usually don't bet. I stay away from them, even if I love the matchup, because you have the short week. You have kind of nagging injuries that might not be widely reported. You just never know what you're going to get. So I stay away from the variants. My projections have this as a dead heat. If I'm guessing, I still think Philadelphia Wentz is getting a little bit better every week. You know, I don't think the Ajayi injury hurts them too much. They usually platoon their running backs anyway. I would take Philadelphia in this game, Brad. Which way are you leaning?
Philadelphia for sure.
For me, it's a no bet, but you know, if I'm gonna make a pick, and I like to for these podcasts, I'll take Philadelphia as well. In terms of fantasy, I don't love the matchup. I think New York's defense is a little bit tougher. If you have other options at quarterback, I would. Unfortunately, me personally, we have a shallow bench. I don't really have options at quarterback. I personally will be starting Wentz this week. Whoever's starting at running back, I think it will be Smallwood. I like that for Philadelphia. I think you do start Alshon Jeffrey and obviously Ertz, but I probably stay away from everybody else, including Aguilar there. For the Giants, I stay away from Manning. I play Barkley. I definitely play Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard if you have them. And I stay away from everybody else. Moving it right along, Brad, we have Jameis Winston's return to starting. Tampa Bay +3.5 at Atlanta. How you feeling about that one?
Ooh, I think, you know, Atlanta's been a disappointment, but I think that they take Tampa easy in this one. Jameis is going to be rusty, and, you know, home game against a division opponent, I think Atlanta takes it.
Yeah, I think this has the makings to be one of those kind of punch, counterpunch kind of games. Atlanta's defense is reeling from injury. Like you said, you know, they've started, I think they're 1-4 at this point, going back at home. Jameis Winston, look, you know, we've been saying it our entire podcast history at this point. He throws too many picks for me. You know, I know our dear friend, the Wolf of Tarpon Springs, he's a big Jameis believer. Brad and I are not. Fitzpatrick, I always kind of felt, would have been a better quarterback if they just handed the team to him. Some people call us crazy, you know, whatever. But, you know, I do think for fantasy purposes, this is going to be a high-scoring game. I am with you, Brad. I am taking Atlanta here. I wouldn't call that a lock pick, but I am taking Atlanta, so we're in agreement. For fantasy, I think you can pretty much start either quarterback here. I have them both projected well into the 30-point range, Winston and Matt Ryan. For Tampa Bay, look, Peyton Barber is the running back there. I know people are talking about Ronald Jones, but Ronald Jones isn't consistent enough in the pass protection for him to be a viable weapon, and this team passes. So I'm staying away from Jones. I would still start Barber if you need a running back, although I do only have Barber projected at about 8 points, which is you know. Mike Evans, you play. Deshaun Jackson, you play. I don't like Godwin this week. You know, he's, to me, a little bit average. I have him at about a 7-point swing. Now, here's a good one for you, though. O.J. Howard's still going to be out. Cameron Brate is available in a lot of leagues. If you need a tight end, I feel really good. And Jameis Winston always has had a nice connection with Brate, so I think you could pick him up and plug him in if you need so. Running back in Atlanta, I like both of them, Coleman and Freeman, assuming Coleman is and Freeman are both healthy enough to play. Julio Jones, look, he never gets in the end zone. You have to be comfortable with that at this point. We've seen 16 games of this, 3 touchdowns in the last 16 games since Sarkisian's taken over. I don't like it. We've been talking about it, so I don't need to go into that any further. Mohamed Sanu, I like. Actually, Ridley, I don't like that much this week. And then if you need a tight end, you know, you can play Hooper, but he's so inconsistent. At least he got a lot of catches last week. Against Pittsburgh, but it seems like they only really utilize him when they're losing, and I don't know that they'll be losing in this game. So, you know, buyer beware on Hooper this week. Moving it along, Brad, Carolina plus 1.5 at Washington. What do you think?
Ooh, you know, I kind of, you know, Washington got their you-know-what handed to them yesterday. You know, but Carolina, they're looking a little bit more complete than I thought they would. I'm going to have to stick with Carolina.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad, and that for me is a lock of the week. Now, here's the interesting thing, and me being a Washington enthusiast for a number of years, I have seen Cam Newton twist the nipples of the Redskins for years and years and years. Cam Newton is 3-0 against Washington, and yeah, I know there's a little bit of a different regime there, but Washington's defense, although a little bit better. Now, look, yeah, we saw what New Orleans did to them. New Orleans has the ability to do that, especially with Ingram back. I wasn't sure what we were going to get. And we got basically the Saints of 2017. And I was curious to see if that was going to be the case, and that is what we saw. Washington's defense is no slouch, but if Cam Newton's hitting 67% of his passes and they have McCaffrey going in the running game, and Olsen also might be back. He's week to week at this point. I think he almost played last week, but he could be back. I don't, you know, even though Carolina's on the road, Washington plays pretty well at home. Carolina getting points against this Redskins team that has had a historical inability to do anything to Cam Newton. I'm with Carolina here. In terms of fantasy, I like Cam Newton. I love McCaffrey every week. I don't care who he's playing. He could be playing Jacksonville. He could be playing the best team. I mean, he just looks so good. I actually like Funchess this week. Usually, you know, I don't start him. I'm not super high on him. I think his matchup this week with the Washington defensive backs is nice. And if Olsen plays, I don't have the tight end position projected well against Washington, but if Olsen plays, I like him. If he doesn't, then I wouldn't start Ian Thomas or anything like that. Now, in Washington, I don't love Alex Smith this week. I'm usually a little bit higher on him than mostly everybody in the fantasy world. I don't love him. I think this is a tough matchup. Carolina's defense is solid. I do like Adrian Peterson this week, more so than I even like the Chris Thompson. Although, you know, Thompson got injured. We don't know. He's going to be questionable. We'll have to see. Certainly, if Thompson doesn't play, then, of course, I love Adrian Peterson. If he does play, the one thing I'll say is I do anticipate Washington being, you know, playing from behind. And whenever Washington plays from behind, you know, Thompson ends up with, like, 10 catches. So keep an eye out for that. We don't know. Doxson seems to be week to week. Paul Richardson also got hurt. We don't know what's going on with them. So, honestly, if his name isn't Crowder, I'm staying away from every Washington receiver. On my fantasy lineup, I'm not playing him. The only reason I would play Crowder is if I'm looking for a daily fantasy kind of plug and play. And then tight end, I think you probably start Jordan Reed every week, although, you know, I want to see a little bit more fight in that Washington offense than they put up. You know, you figure if you're losing 43-13 or 16 or whatever it is, you would figure that the team would pass more and give you more from a fantasy point of view, and that didn't really pan out last night, but whatever. Okay, moving on. Another game that I will not be betting on regardless is the Seattle-Oakland game. This is a London game. I think Seattle's traveling over Wednesday or Thursday. Look, you know, everybody, I fly internationally a couple times a year for my day job. It takes a lot out of you. Yeah. You know, the jet lag, that's a real thing. You just pop up, you know, fresh as a daisy at 3 a.m, and then you want to go back to bed at about 9 a.m. This is not an environment I am comfortable betting on. But if we're going to make picks, Brett, how do you feel about that?
Well, if I had to make a pick, I don't feel very well at all. But I think Oakland maybe, you know, Seattle played the game of their life last week. And I think Oakland would take this one for sure. Seattle's got a, man, they're really hit or miss. I think Oakland takes this one.
Yeah, look, Seattle's a different team. We talked about this last week. Seattle's a different team on the or at home, I should say. You know, both teams coming from the West, traveling. At least, you know, both teams have the same similar amount of flight time, similar amount of jet lag. If I'm taking a team in this one, I am also taking Oakland. But who the heck knows? It's it's London.
I know. This is London. A crazy run.
Yeah. So in terms of fantasy, I'm staying away from Russell Wilson this week. If you have options, I only have him projected at a 14, which is frankly it's pretty bad. You know, you could probably plug and play somebody off of waivers like a Dalton or somebody like that Flacco. You can plug and play a lot of people and get some value. Running back, I like Carson. You know, Brad, I post my rankings on Reddit each week along with projections, and people keep dogging me for Carson as if I should be starting Rashad Penny or somebody. The last three games, well, he didn't play last week, but that starting running back position, which by the way is not Penny, is getting over 100 yards a game and touchdown opportunities, and that's what you're looking for in fantasy. I don't know why these people are still buying into the hype. Like we said at the beginning of the show, we're a third of the way through the season. We know what Rashad Penny is at this point, so you know, all you smug Penny owners out there, you know, keep being smug and keep waiting for him to pop. But I'll be sticking with Carson or Davis, depending on the situation. Receivers, gosh, Baldwin, I know he's been dealing with some injury issues. He hasn't looked good. I'm only starting one receiver in this offense. It's Lockett. And, you know, Nick Vannett might be, you know, based on matchup, based on, you know, Seattle using tight end, he might give you an uptick this week. Now, for Oakland, I don't love Derek Carr in this matchup either. I think he's average. I actually have him projected higher than Russell Wilson this week in terms of fantasy points. I like Marshawn Lynch quite a bit, especially playing against his old team. I think he'll be ready to go regardless of jet lag. Amari Cooper, you know, maybe if they target him more than once in a game, he could pop. I think this is a good matchup for him. But I think Jordy Nelson is the wide receiver of choice in this offense now. And then I also like Jared Cook in, you know, matchup based. Jared Cook's been playing really well. Gruden likes his tight ends. Tight ends, I think, are scoring reasonably well against Seattle. So I feel good about him. I actually made a move for him in my fantasy league. I had to trade for a tight end. And I'm comfortably starting him this week. Moving the game, the games along now, we have Arizona plus 10.5 at Minnesota.
Ooh, man. You know, I can never take a team that with that many points. I just can't do it. You know, because even if Minnesota is beating them handily, right? You never know when they're going to get into a pre-vet and Arizona scores a junk touchdown at the end. So yeah. I'm going to take Arizona to cover, even though they're awful.
Yeah, I'll say this. So, you know, start of the year, Sam Bradford was just abysmal as a quarterback. They didn't get anything moving. The one thing Rosen gives them, I touched on this again last week, Rosen gives them the ability to push the ball downfield. And in doing so, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of David Johnson. Now, David Johnson, I think he only had like 55 yards last week, two touchdowns. But what's that showing you is the lack of pressure, the lack of like nine-man fronts that Arizona's facing the last couple of weeks, it pays dividends. Now, Minnesota, I think Minnesota clearly is going to win this game, especially the coming back and the way they kind of answered the bell against Philadelphia last week. But 10.5, I'm with you, Brad. I think Arizona covers this game just barely. I wouldn't put my own money on the line, so I'm not recommending that our listeners put their own money on the line. I am taking Arizona. That's just too many points. Looking at fantasy, I'm staying away from Rosen in this matchup and all of the receivers. If you're desperate for a tight end, I think Seals Jones, the tight end matchup, against Minnesota is a pretty good one. You know, the targets are going to have to go somewhere. Seals Jones got six targets last week, not a single catch, but I think he'll be involved in the game plan as he is every week. Eventually he's going to break through and have a nice like 80-yard game. This is a good candidate for that. But again, that's really desperation play for your fantasy team or daily fantasy sleeper type talk. David Johnson, look, I don't love the matchup, but I recognize, you know, the people that drafted him probably drafted him in the top five. They're going to play him every week. I do have him projected at a 12 against this tough Vikings defense. So, you know, I think you'll get some value, but I just don't think you're going to get that 30-point rip from him, not for another few weeks, you know, while Rosen settles in. Now, in Minnesota, I think every week at this point you're starting Cousins, regardless of who they're playing in, on you know, their defensive matchup. You're starting Cousins, Diggs, and Thielen. You feel real good about that. Dalvin Cook, we don't know. He's week to week. If he plays, you know, I would definitely start him because in the very least he'll get some catches. I don't have that that running back you know, matchup projected super well against this Arizona defense, but I do think that running back will score. So whether it's Murray if he's playing or Cook if he's playing, I think you can feel okay with that. And then let's see, a tight end. What do I have? Rudolph, I have projected at about a 5, which is average for tight ends. So you can play him and feel okay with that. So moving it now along to Pittsburgh, +2.5 at Cincinnati.
Ooh, underdogs. You know, I think Cincinnati can put up a nice fight at home. Pittsburgh, you know, you never know what you're going to get week to week with them. They're always in turmoil. They play their level of competition. This is gonna be a close one, but I am going to go on a limb and say Pittsburgh takes this one.
Yeah, I look, Cincinnati kind of started slow and then they finished finished well, but they got two defensive touchdowns against Miami, so Miami kind of gave that game away. You know, I had concerns. I mentioned this last week going into the game, and I kind of pulled Cincinnati from my board because in the offseason, and I still hold this to be true, is I think Eifert makes that offense go. It's not Dalton. It's not the quarterback. It's not Mixon. It's not, you know, Gio Bernard or A.J. Green. It's Dalton. I'm sorry, it's Eifert, because Eifert kind of stretches the middle of the defense. He can run seams. He's a dynamic tight end. He can also block well in the running game. And they don't have anybody to fill that really crucial role in that offense. So when Eifert went down, I thought, you know, what is this Cincinnati offense going to look like without that dynamic tight end? And they didn't look great to me. They didn't look as well or as good as they looked in the first quarter of the season there. So I'm with you, Brad. I think Pittsburgh's starting to kind of figure it out. They finally, you know, involved James Conner in the offense again. They made an effort to get him the ball, and he paid off for them. Pittsburgh now is kind of winding down the clock for Le'Veon Bell. If they can just eke out a win here in week 6, they have the bye in 7, and Bell will be back in week 8, presumably. I think Pittsburgh goes in with those 2.5 points. They usually are a little overvalued, you know, on the road. But with my questions about Cincinnati, you have Pittsburgh there. I'm with you, man. I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the points in this one. I don't love it, but, you know, I do like it. I do like it. So in terms of fantasy, you're starting Roethlisberger, Brown, Smith-Schuster, James Conner. You're starting them every week. I have all of those projected very well. So I have Roethlisberger at a 27, James Conner at a 22. Let's see here. Brown at a 19. Smith-Schuster at a 17. I think Vance McDonald still is the tight end of choice in that offense, but honestly, they kind of spread targets around. I would start Vance McDonald there and probably stay away from James, but we'll see how that goes. Now, in Cincinnati, I like Dalton this week. I think Dalton will score well against this Pittsburgh team. I do think, you know, in spite of them not having Eifert, I do think he will throw well. I like Mixon this week. I know Bernard at this point is week to week. I don't know if he'll be back, but Mixon is back, so that's good. A.J. Green I like. Tyler Boyd I like. I probably stay away from everybody else. I'm still trying to figure out the tight end situation there, so not everybody. All right, Brad, I want to talk a little bit about betonline.ag, just a little bit, one of our partners. So look, you know, October, we're in October, so we have the MLB playoffs, which is fantastic, great time. It really is, Brad, I think the best time of year to be a sports fan. You have those playoffs, you have the basketball, you know, NBA's back in preseason, soon to be regular season, and of course you have NFL, college football. And Brad, I don't know, did you catch any of that Conor McGregor fight this last week?
No, I did not. I was out running around with the Wolf of Tarpon Springs.
Oh, very good, very good. But man, that was the aftermath of that fight was quite crazy. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, look, everybody, you don't want to miss the action. You don't want to miss the fun. So head over to betonline.ag today to make your online wagers and take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's PODCAST1. To receive a 50% sign-up bonus at betonline.ag. The biggest names, the biggest teams, the biggest moments are all happening all month long in October. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code, once again, it's PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. When the books are giving you that sign-up bonus, take advantage. They also have great lines. I love the lines. that they have out there, and they're always out there quick for everybody. You know, it's a quick turnaround in the NFL, which I love as well. So once again, podcast one, take full advantage. All right, do you want to get an edge over Vegas in the books this season? BetQL is available for download, and it's the only mobile app that gives you everything you need to make smarter bets. With BetQL, you can access line movement to see how a game's odds have moved over time, and this app lets you access public betting trends so you can see which side of the bet the public favors. Discover value bets of the day with BetQL's powerful algorithm based off detailed, recent, and historical trends. BetQL shows you which teams are trending against the spread and over-unders. And the best part, you can download BetQL for free from your Apple or Android device. Use promo code PODCAST to unlock your free 3-day trial. It's time for you to turn the tables and give yourself an edge over the sports books by downloading BetQL. Head to betql.co to download and use promo code PODCAST before this offer expires. That's betql.co and promo code PODCAST. Okay, Brad, now we have Indianapolis +2.5 at the Jets. How do you feel?
You know, Indianapolis has been a little disappointing to me, and I think the Jets are on the rise. I'd like them to cover this one.
So I've decided that with Sam Darnold, I'm not going to bet on the Jets ever when they're on the road, but I will take them at home. You know, again, rookie quarterback, having the crowd behind you, it's important. Indianapolis is they're one-dimensional until Mack comes back at running back. So I am with you, Brad. And the Jets defense, if anything, they are underrated. You know, they're not a sexy defense, but they score well. They get to the quarterback. They generate turnovers. And a one-dimensional team, I think they're going to give Luck some issues. I don't think it's going to take a ton of points this week. I think maybe 23 will get it done. I think Darnold and the Jets offense can do that. Oh, my gosh. How about Isaiah Crowell last week, by the way? Like, every time he touched the ball, he got, like, 50 yards.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think he finished, I can't remember, I'm going from memory. I feel like it was like 15 carries for 219 yards and 2 touchdowns or something. And then, you know, they did committee there, and Bilal Powell, I think, averaged 5 or 6 yards a carry too. It's crazy. But anyway, I'm with you, Brad. I'm going to take the Jets there. Fantasy wise, you know, I like Luck just fine. I have him projected at a 21, which is a little above average, I think. Running back, I think Hines is the only running back you could even think about starting here. He gets a lot of catches in PPR league. If you're not in a PPR league, I probably don't even start Hines. If T.Y. Hilton, I don't know if he'll be back or not. If T.Y. Hilton is playing, I like him. If he's not, I probably only play Chester Rogers at receiver. Luck seems to find him, target him quite a bit. I like him more than I like Grant in this offense. And Ebron's going to score well. You know, I think he'll even score well when Doyle is back, but while Doyle continues to be out with injury, you know, Ebron is a definite start every week. Now, in with New York, I'm not going to start Dalton. I don't love the matchup. I only have him projected at a 15, but the running backs I love. You got to love Crowell. Crowell, I'm not sure. Probably Crowell. And then Powell. I love Bilal Powell as well this week, but I think Crowell is the better of the running backs. He just is more explosive, and he gets in the end zone more. At receiver, I do like Anunua this week to get some receptions, get some catches. Robbie Anderson, you know, I think he only had 3 catches, but he had 2 huge ones and got in the end zone. I wouldn't go crazy and start him. I think Anunua is still the one that makes this offense go. So I don't think it's a sexy week in terms of fantasy, but I do think the Jets cover, and that's more has more to do with their, let's say, stronger defense with combined with Indianapolis's one-dimensional offense. But, you know, it'll be an interesting game for sure. Let's see. We got Buffalo, Brad. Now, I had trouble pulling this line, so I had to get a consensus line. So this line could be anywhere from between 8 and 10. But I have Buffalo at +8.5 at Houston.
I think Houston's defense eats them alive and takes this one easily.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing last week, and I guess it's true. You know, I thought Houston was going to show up and kind of punch Dallas in the face, and the defense, they did. The offense had trouble moving the ball, but Dallas's defense is pretty tough too, so I don't want to take any away from the Cowboys' defense there. Now, Buffalo's defense is strong. Now, they had some problems early in the season, but, you know, they've been strong the last 3 weeks in a row here. And this McDermott defense has historically been, you know, pretty decent to good. I think they were a little bit overrated last year. This year, I think they're a little underrated. I have this projected. My computer is projected as a dead heat. I'm with you, Brad. If I'm going to make a pick, you know, I wouldn't spend my money on it. This is not something I'm advocating that listeners bet on. But, you know, for a pick, I'm going to take Houston as well. I just think Watson continues to improve a little bit. He's holding the ball too long. I don't love that. If he, you know, there are opportunities in this offense. There are open receivers, and he's not seeing them. So that's always a little bit concerning. But that's also the development of a young quarterback. You know, you come in. You light the world on fire, then the defensive coordinators get some tape, they start, you know, throwing some complexity, and then, you know, then you just have to kind of figure things out. Watson's still a little bit of a work in progress here. I wouldn't start him in fantasy world, but I do think that Houston team will cover the spread. For fantasy, I'm not starting any Bill against this Houston team. I'm just not doing it. Daily fantasy. If anything, maybe Charles Clay at tight end, maybe. And that's... Again, I can't emphasize that enough. Maybe, like, if I had no budget left in daily fantasy, maybe I'd take a flyer on him. Houston, I start Watson. I guess, you know, I have him kind of as an average quarterback this week. But again, if you drafted him, you probably have him early. If you don't have any other, I think he'll do well for you. Just he won't light the world on fire this week. If Lamar Miller's back, I start him. I like the matchup. If he's not, I would start Alfred Blue. Receiver, I think you're always starting Hopkins. I like Will Fuller's matchup this week. QT. I don't love the matchup, but he is an emphasis in this offense, and he's kind of a safety valve for Watson, so you got to pay attention to him. But he is also questionable this week, so we'll see. And then, you know, I stay away from tight end. I know Griffin had a nice game against the Cowboys, but I think that was more of a game plan type thing, just work in the middle of the field, than it is, hey, let's feature this guy, Ryan Griffin, week to week. We have the Chargers, Brad, -1 at Cleveland.
Ooh, I think the Chargers take this. You know, Cleveland is playing really well. And then they had a good week last week, but I think Phillip Rivers, man, the guy is legit, and I believe in him. I'm going to take the Chargers.
I agree with you, and I've had problems betting on the Chargers because, you know, they started the season so poorly, but they did the same kind of thing last year, and then they got hot, and they seem to be getting hotter earlier in the season this year. Last week, I pumped the brakes on that Chargers-Raiders matchup because, you know, I just wanted to see more proof from the Chargers because I like this team. I like the physical talent of this team. I think they're good. I'm with you, Brad. Now, Cleveland, let's be honest about this. Cleveland should be 4-1 right now. And right now, I believe they're 2-2-1 is their record. If they were 4-1, you know, this, it wouldn't be as easy to make this pick, right? Just psychologically. Sure. But yeah, Cleveland's playing well. Their defense is, you know, creating turnovers. They're getting to the quarterback. They're tough. But I do like the talent of this Chargers roster better. I don't love the pick, but I am safely taking the Chargers in this matchup, and I'm saying that barely. I shouldn't say safely. I should say barely taking the Chargers in this matchup. For fantasy purposes, I do start, in spite of Cleveland's tough defense, I do start Rivers. I do start Melvin Gordon. If you need a running back, plug and play. Again, you know, on my Reddit, people troll me every week when I say Eckler is a nice plug and play. He's projected kind of well to be an average type running back. People troll me every week, and then Eckler scores a touchdown and gets like 50 yards receiving every week, and then, you know, those trolls go back to the shadows, as they do. I do like Eckler. He's available in a lot of leagues. We'll get to that a little bit later. At receiver, I like Keenan Allen. I don't love either of the Williamses there, Tyrell or Michael. At tight end, this is a good matchup. I don't know if Green's going to be back. I didn't get a chance to check before the recording here. But if Green's out and if it's only Gates, that only makes me like the tight end just you know, that much better. So pay special attention, see what's going on there. And, you know, I do like the starting tight end for the Chargers, regardless of who they play. Now, Cleveland, I like Baker Mayfield. He's available in a lot of leagues at waivers. You know, on waivers, he's getting better every week. He throws the ball well. You know, you might get some turnovers. You're going to get that with a young quarterback. But he does push the ball downfield, and he's an NFL quarterback. So I like Mayfield. If you have him, you don't have anybody else. I do have Mayfield projected at about a 20. I don't love the running back matchups here, especially as they're starting to integrate Chubb more into the offense. So I'd stay away personally. If you have Hyde at this point, I suggest trading him, for something else, you know, in your fantasy lineups. Receiver, I like Landry. I don't love the matchup for Callaway, but I do think he should be somebody you're stashing. He's getting a lot of targets in here. And then Higgins I like too, although I don't know if he's going to play. He's questionable at this point. I know he went out with injury. And then Njoku at tight end is a nice plug and play for everybody there. He's always integrated in the offensive game plan. Now we have Chicago, Brad, -3 at Miami.
Okay, so I think everyone needs to calm down a little bit about how good Chicago is and about how poor Miami looked. I know you're not going to agree with me on this one, but I think Miami bounces back and takes this one.
You know, this is I'm kind of with you here. I am going to disagree with you, but I don't disagree with what you just said. I think people need to pump the brakes a little bit in Chicago. Look, the defense is great, and as we said coming into the season in our, I believe it was episode one, our NFC North preview, you know, the point I made is, look, you know, the defense under Fox was really good. They kept the defensive coordinator. They brought in Nagy, and the question was, you know, can they apply that that magic that McVay applied to the Rams last year, you know, the tough defense, and then maybe if you can average another 7 points a game, suddenly you go from a 5-12 team to a 12-5 team if you can make those averages stick over the course of the season. Well, Nagy, you know, he put up a hurt right before their bye week. What I'm curious to see is if Nagy can be as good game planning with a bye week as Andy Reid was in Kansas City, and that's a tough ask. You know, with that extra week, I am leaning towards Chicago going on the road and taking care of business against Miami. Miami's offense has struggled the last 2 weeks. But I don't think they're as bad as people, you know, as people make them out to be. I think Miami is a tougher team. They are underrated. We've been saying that all season. But I do have Chicago as a lock pick this week. All of my models are going after them. And I do like that Nagy. You know, I'm curious to see. I'll be watching with interest. I will be putting money on this game. Now, in terms of fantasy in this one, I'm not a big believer in Trubisky week to week here, but if you're looking for a daily fantasy cheap quarterback, Trubisky might be a nice value for you. I have him projected at an 18. Chicago's running back situation, I have no idea what they're doing. You would think that Howard would be able to take this job by the reins, but it seems like they prefer Cohen a little bit more. Now, I drafted Jordan Howard fairly high in my league. I'm going to start him because I have some people in bye week this week, and I don't feel great about it. But Howard should be a good running back. Hopefully, maybe they can work him in. Like I said, they have that second week of game planning. Maybe they can feed him the ball a little bit more. That's the hope. So I do start him. I like Cohen. I think if you have him on your roster, he's a good start this week. I have him projected at a 17 against this Cleveland defense. I don't love the receivers. If I'm going to pick one, I'd pick Gabriel. You know, I know Robinson's going to get some targets. That's great. And look, Burton, he had a lot of hype coming into the season. He's not getting a lot of targets, but he is executing on the targets he receives. So if you have him at tight end, I think you can feel okay starting him there. But I want to see him getting like 10 targets a game. I don't want to see him getting 5 targets a game. So I'll be watching that with interest, believe me. Now in Miami, you know, Tannehill, I always have him projected a little bit higher than he turns out to be. So I'm kind of taking my foot off the gas there from a daily fantasy point of view. The running backs haven't been consistent here. Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, so I'm staying away from them. At receiver, the only one really I feel comfortable playing this week is Amendola. I don't like Stills and I don't like Wilson in this matchup. Amendola kind of work in the middle of the field, I think, will be good. And then I stay away from everybody else. So this isn't really a light the world on fire type fantasy matchup, you know, either team, but there are some players and, you know, there's some plug and plays here as well if you need them. Now, Brad, we have the Rams -7 at Denver. What do you think?
I think this is a tough matchup for the Rams, but, you know, they're -7 on the road. I know it's going to sound crazy. I know, but even though I think the Rams take this one, I got to think Denver covers.
Denver going back to home after getting spanked, you know, at New York. I'm going to take the Rams, man. The computers just, I think week to week, they're going to cover more often than not. The computers love them. I love them too. Now, Seattle played tough at home. I took the Rams last week. Shame on me taking the road favorite in a division matchup. You generally don't do that. This isn't a division matchup. I think Denver, you know, Denver started the season okay last year and then kind of fell off. We're kind of seeing the same thing, almost the anti-Chargers. The Chargers start the year slow and then build steam. Denver's history with the new coaching staff there is the opposite. I don't know what we're going to get. I think, the Rams defense had some issues. I know they have some injuries here and there. Some guys are banged up. Tlaib is out for a while. I'm still going to take the Rams in a lock. I am going to put my money on that. The Rams, I just think, are going to cover more often than not, and they have so many weapons. Now, I will say that there's one caveat here. I'm assuming that both Cooks and Kupp will be available. I think Kupp will be back, but Cooks, you know, he had the concussion in the Super Bowl. He has a concussion now. I could see Cooks being held out there. So I'm going to be monitoring these injuries and definitely pay attention to Reddit and our Twitter. I'm at @TFS_Sean. That's S-E-A-N for updates throughout the week if you're interested. But assuming, you know, the receiving core isn't completely decimated by injury, I will take the Rams to cover here. Now, in fantasy, I like Goff. At this point, week to week, you can start Goff. Of course, you're going to start Gurley. I mentioned Kupp and Cooks. If you have them and they are playing, you can feel good about starting them. And Woods, I think you like as well there. I don't like any of the tight ends on the Rams. If there's one weakness in this team, it's the tight end position. So they need to do some work there in the offseason. Now, in Denver, I don't really like anybody other than maybe Royce Freeman, maybe Philip Lindsay. I should take that back. I do like Emmanuel Sanders here. I know you're going to start Thomas at receiver, but I only have him projected in 8.8, which means I don't love the matchup. Emmanuel Sanders, I have him projected at a 16, so that means he's probably going to get some good yards, some nice catches, and have a good, nice chance to score. At tight end for Denver, if Heuerman is playing, I know Butt is out for the year. So Heuerman probably get the opportunities there. I think he had a little bit of an uptick in targets, but you know, tight ends tend to do a little bit better against the Rams because the Rams are so strong elsewhere. So I do like that if Heuerman is available. Now, Brad, moving it over to, let's see, we have Baltimore -3 at Tennessee. How do you feel?
Baltimore next. Easy, baby, easy.
So Tennessee's defense is good, right? Baltimore kind of had trouble struggling at Cleveland, but again, Cleveland was a home underdog against a division opponent. Another game that I missed last week. My picks last week were just pure dumpster fire garbage. Although, again, you know, I don't feel bad about the picks that I made. It's not like they got their butts kicked. A lot of weird stuff happened, but enough of that. Baltimore, I'm with you, man. That's a lock for me. Baltimore, especially coming after a loss, going against Tennessee, who's having trouble scoring. Baltimore's number one scoring defense at this point. Flacco has looked good. I don't see Tennessee being able to, frankly, put up 20 points, and I think you'll need at least that much to cover. I see this game as more of a 27-16 type game, so I feel pretty good about Baltimore. Now, in terms of fantasy, I don't love it because these are two good defenses. So Flacco, I have it at 17. That's average to below average. They already came out and said that they're running back by committee, which, frankly, I've been saying that all year. I like Javorius Allen a little bit more than I like Collins this week, but I think both are pretty reasonable plays. I like Crabtree. I like Brown. I don't like Snead, and I don't like any of the tight ends. They're going tight end by committee now in Baltimore, especially with Hurst back, so I'm staying away. Now, in Tennessee, Mariota I've projected at an 8. which is abysmal at quarterback, so stay away there. I don't like either of these running backs against Baltimore. In terms of receiver, I like Corey Davis, and then I hate everything else for Tennessee. So this is just a really bad matchup, not a lot of big fantasy output. I like some of the receiving matchups for Baltimore, and that's about it. Brad, Jacksonville -3 at Dallas.
I don't think that Dallas's offense is any answer for them. Jacksonville looks nice and buttoned up, man. I'm gonna take them to cover.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So Jacksonville, after getting butt hurt in Kansas City, there, man, they just got handled. That defense got handled. They are gonna come out and be fierce. I don't know who Dallas is going to throw the ball to. I say that every week, but especially against this Jaguars defense. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, is he going to be able to, you know, rip off 150 yards, maybe 200 combined yards against this Jacksonville team? I don't see it happening. And that's what it's going to take for Dallas to win, I think. So fantasy-wise, I actually like the Bortles matchup here, although really you're taking your life in your own hands with playing Bortles week to week. It's a little nutty to play him in fantasy world. I say that, but he is actually, I think he's a top 10 quarterback at this point. Now, in terms of daily fantasy, I do like it. Now, Baltimore's defense is tough, but I think they'll probably come back, try to run the ball. I think Fournette will be out again, so this is more of a Yeldon thing. And then, you know, at receiver, I think DeeDee Westbrook will probably have a nice game. I have him projected as the best receiver in Dallas because, again, they're going to be working the middle of the field just like we saw Houston try to do last week. And I like Keelan Cole. I don't love Moncrief this week, and I stay away from everybody else in Jacksonville. Now, in Dallas, I don't like anybody other than Elliott. You got to play Elliott. I have Elliott projected at a 15, and I have everybody else on this. I have, let's see, Prescott at a 9. I have everybody else under 5. So that just goes to show what this matchup is going to do. Stay away from Cowboys unless his name is Elliott. So, Brad, let's see. We have two games left. We have the Sunday night matchup. Really, really nice game. Kansas City plus 3 at New England. How do you feel?
Wow, what a beautiful game, huh?
Yeah.
You know, this one is very tough for me, man. And, you know, I know Kansas City looks amazing, but am I going to go against New England at home? Never. I'm going to take them to cover. Nice friendly line.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm with you. And my computers are all telling me to take Kansas City. Frankly, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of wavering back and forth. Usually when I waver back and forth like that, I kind of stay away. Like you said, I mean, New England, they have Edelman back. They handled Indianapolis, who was putting points on the board. Now, Indianapolis is a one-dimensional team. They can't run the ball. Kansas City is a little – they look one-dimensional, but they are able to run the ball with Kareem Hunt there. They don't really integrate him into the offensive game plan too much week to week because Mahomes is just playing so great. If anybody's going to find a weakness in Mahomes right now, it's going to be Belichick. They're going to do some things that he hasn't seen before. I'm watching this game as a spectator. I'm not watching this as a bettor. I'm going to take it off the board, even though my computer projections are saying, hey, pick Kansas City. I'm staying away. Now, in fantasy, there's a lot to like here. I like Mahomes, even though we don't know if Belichick is, you know, going to be the guy that can solve for that Mahomes riddle at the moment. I think you have to play Hunt because Hunt did really well against New England last year in week one. Kansas City seems to run the ball well against New England's scheme. If New England is paying a lot of attention to Mahomes, which I think they will, that's going to free things up for Hunt. And look, Andy Reid is an offensive coordinator that's going to take what the defense has given you. He's not going to ignore Hunt when New England is allowing them to run the ball. So even though I don't have Hunt projected very well in terms of points, which is a 9, he's about average there, I do think he'll probably score in reality a little bit more than that. Tariq Hill, I know you're going to play him every week. Watkins, I think you can play him, although I don't love him. I only have him at about 10. And Kelsey, I'd love against this Patriots team, even though I know they're going to try to take Kelsey away. Now, for New England, I think you're going to start Brady every time. I love both running backs here, Michelle and James White. You play either one of them. I have White in PPR leagues projected higher at a 23. I think White is just too integrated into that offensive game plan to not score well. Michelle, I have him at a 14, so that's a little above average as well. Receiver, I think you got to play Edelman at this point. He gets too many catches, especially if you're in a PPR league. Gordon is starting to flash, which is nice. I know he went out or he was questionable going into last week. I'm assuming he'll play this week, so I like that. And then, of course, you're going to play Gronk as well. I like that matchup. So, Brad, last one of the week here, we have San Francisco plus 9.5 at Green Bay.
You know, I'm a little bit surprised by this line because Green Bay has not looked great. But that being said, you'd have to think that they're going to put one together at some point here. First half, second half, domination. I'm going to have to go Green Bay to cover.
You know, I had San Francisco covering, but you seem to have your finger on the pulse of Green Bay. You know when they're going to lose a bet.
I do.
I think you're undefeated on Packers picks this whole year. So that gives me pause, frankly. Now, look, San Francisco, this flies in the face of one of my golden rules of betting is bet against C.J. Beathard whenever you have the opportunity. But this offense is moving the ball, man. Beathard doesn't look as bad as he looked last year. You know, but then San Francisco has bang up running backs. You have a sprained ankle with Breida. Of course, McKinnon has long since been gone. Alfred Morris isn't really a factor in the passing game, so they're going to go to a committee there regardless of who's playing. I'd probably take this one off the, you know, because Green Bay's at home. Green Bay plays a little bit better at home. You know, Mason Crosby's not going to miss 5 kicks. Oh, maybe he will miss 5 kicks every week. Green Bay should have covered last week, frankly. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. They're playing a little bit lower than they should be playing. Minnesota seems to be getting better. They need this game. And if they need the game, I think they'll get it. I'm also assuming here that Allison will be back and they'll have their full stable receivers. In terms of fantasy, if you're looking for a daily fantasy sleeper, I do think that San Francisco will put points on this defense. So I think C.J. Beathard is a nice buy. You'll probably get him on DraftKings for like $5,000, $5,500, something like that. I do like whoever the starting running back is, whether that's Breida or Morris. Keep an eye out for that. At receiver, you know, I don't like anything in San Francisco other than maybe Kittle at tight end. Kittle I have projected at a 12, and I have everybody else projected, I think, under 8. So I stay away from the pass catchers other than Kittle in San Francisco. For Green Bay, I'm firmly starting Aaron Rodgers this week. I like Aaron Jones the best at running back, and then I stay away from the others. I love Adams. I love all the receivers here in this matchup. I love Adams. I love Allison, assuming he's back, even if some of those backup receivers are in there. I like them as well. So daily fantasy or fantasy, if you're on a Green Bay starting receiver, I think you can start that gentleman and be just fine. And then I like Jimmy Graham as well. So that takes us through the week. As always, I will be posting these picks on our Reddit. If you go to reddit.com and just search for Get Paid Podcast, I will have all of the point projections and rankings for the players. And these are hitting pretty well. They're identifying sleepers, so they are valuable for your daily fantasy players. And they're also good to take a look at for waiver plays as well. And then I'll be posting, of course, the against the spread picks, the locks, all that stuff. Now, let's see. I want to go through quickly, Brad. I want to go through some waiver pickups. You know, again, we're dealing with injuries now. We're dealing with bye weeks now. So I'm just going to go through a couple players here. Dalton is still only owned in 54% of the leagues, playing against this Pittsburgh defense. If you need a quarterback plug and play, I think Dalton's a great candidate. And if you're looking for a longer term quarterback play, Baker Mayfield's only owned in 40% of the leagues. He's getting better each week. I've watched both games in full that he's played. I like it quite a bit. So you can pick him up as somebody who's going to start to pop, I think, maybe in the second half of the season. At running back, you have to pay attention now that Ajayi's out in Philadelphia. You have to pay attention to the starter there. I'm personally making a waiver play for Wendell Smallwood, but don't forget about Sproles. He's been out, and the 1 week he played, he was a factor. When he comes back, he will be a factor. So if I miss out on Smallwood, I'll probably pick up Sproles. I mentioned Eckler. He's only still owned in 63% of the leagues. He's been fine in the end zone consistently this year. I like Hines in Indianapolis. He's getting a lot of catches, especially in PPR leagues. He's getting a lot of catches. He's the only person at the running back position that is producing at this point. Now, Marlon Mack, when he comes back, I think he'll be a valuable runner, but he's just been banged up all year too. So just keep an eye out for Mack when he'll be back. But Hines right now, I think, will produce for you. And Buck Allen, you know, at least Baltimore is finally saying they're in a committee. We've been seeing it for weeks. But Buck Allen, only owned in 58% of leagues, he can be a plug-and-play for you this week as well. Receiver, another, keeping it with the Ravens here, I like John Brown at 71%. He's only owned in 71% of leagues, which is a high percentage. But, look, he's a focal point of this Ravens attack. Flacco likes him. He gets in the end zone. I like that. Sanu, for some reason, Mohamed Sanu in the high-scoring Falcons offense. Look, you know Julio's not getting in the end zone. Sanu is 53% of the leagues. I like that. Mike Williams for the Chargers and 46% of the league. And then a longer-term play is Antonio Callaway. You know, Baker Mayfield likes to throw to him. He's getting targets. He's not getting a lot of catches, but I do think they'll clean that up and refine that. I like Callaway as a longer-term play. He's only owned in 26% of leagues. If you have deep bench and you can pick him up and stash him for like 5 weeks without issue, he's somebody you can bite on early. Let's see. At tight end, Greg Olsen is only owned in 60% of the leagues thanks to some of his injury issues. Assuming he plays, I like this matchup against Washington. Longer term, Doyle and Indianapolis eventually will come back. Indianapolis likes to throw to two tight ends. I know Ebron is going crazy right now. When Doyle comes back, he'll get a lot of targets, and Ebron's numbers will come back down to earth. O.J. Howard, because of his injury, is only owned in 43% of the leagues. He looks dynamic and was looking dynamic before the injury. But because he's out, if you're looking for a plug and play this week, Cameron Brate, I mentioned him earlier in the Tampa Bay section. I think Tampa Bay versus Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I do think Brate will score well this week. He's only owned in 16% of the leagues. He's a great plug and play. He's a great daily fantasy value guy. And then Seals Jones in Arizona, 21.8% of the league. Look, he's getting targeted. He is a focal point. I do like the matchup this week. I do have a feeling he'll get in the end zone. He's projected in computer, and I just think that Rosen will find him. Now, if you're looking for a defense, you know, for some reason the Jets, now in my league, they're number two ranked defense. They get to the quarterback. They generate turnovers. That's huge. Jets only owned in 34% of the leagues. They're worth a flyer. The Browns only owned in 41% of the leagues. They're low scoring. They get to the quarterback, and they generate the most turnovers in the league. I don't know why they're not picked up. And then the Steelers, which, you know, people see that they gave up a lot of points, but don't forget that they generate also a lot of turnovers and get to the quarterback quite a bit. That mitigates some of those points, you know, the high point games. In my league, I think they're the number three defense. They're only owned in 12% of the leagues, so pick them up. Love them. And then Kansas City, or I'm sorry, for kickers, Kansas City, where did I bring that from? Well, how about this ex-Kansas City kicker, Cairo Santos? He's on the Rams. I think he'll be a nice plug and play until Zuerlein comes back. And then Fairbairn in Houston. Houston's kicking a lot of field goals. They're having problems punching it in the end zone consistently. I like Fairbairn. He converts on his field goals. He's one of the very few kickers I can say that about, unfortunately, in the league. So there's your waiver play. Everybody, as always, you know, follow me on Twitter. I'm at @TFS_Sean. I have some updates throughout the week. I always post our projections and our picks on Reddit. It's reddit.com. And then just search for Get Paid Podcast. You can subscribe to it. You don't need a login. You can just go into the website and take a look at it. At those posts are always there. So, Brad, I think we can wrap it up. Do you have anything to say, you know, beforehand? You know, my one hope and desire this week is to see kickers actually convert on the field goals and extra points. So, about you?
Yeah, you know, that would be nice. I would just like to see Mason Crosby convert an extra point. That's all I'm looking for this weekend. Just one extra point, please.
Such low expectations. I love it.
Low expectations equals happiness, my friend.
It's words of wisdom, words to live by. I love it, Brad. So with that said, once again, I want to thank our partners, RotoQL, as well as Bet Online. Always happy for the partnership there. Very appreciative. Again, thanks to Underdog Sports for having us on our network. And everybody, thanks, everybody. Go out and get paid.